Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we're going to learn more about the Bolton Refuge House. It's a service provider serving individuals affected by domestic violence, intimate partner violence, sexual assault, dating violence, and stalking, with locations in Eau Claire, Jackson, and Buffalo counties, providing services to thousands of adults and children each year. We'll hear from Executive Director Pat Stein as we learn more about the Bolton Refuge House in the next 15 minutes on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs show of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for joining us. Bolton Refuge House. Way back in 1976, a group of concerned community women developed the idea of a women's community center. Before the center even opened, they received a call from the local police department asking them to provide shelter for a woman and her children who were fleeing a domestic violence situation. In response to that call, the Women's Community Center was opened as Wisconsin's first domestic abuse shelter. Well, the Women's Community Center was incorporated as a refuge house in 1977. The shelter later moved into a church parsonage near Birch Street in Eau Claire. On October 6, 1982, Eau Claire Police Officer Robert Bob Bolton was responding to a domestic disturbance at the shelter. When Officer Bolton arrived at the scene, the suspect was entering his car. Officer Bolton attempted to stop the suspect, but the man was able to fatally shoot Officer Bolton. In 1987, the shelter moved to Broadway Avenue and was later renamed Bolton Refuge House, Incorporated, in honor of Officer Robert Bolton. The Broadway Avenue shelter remained in operation until 2010. Pat Stein has been with Bolton since 2012 and executive director since 2015. She says
the move from Broadway over to this Farwell facility occurred in 2010. And when I became director in 2015, at that time we were a 12-room facility, the community sheltering area. We were full for that entire first 8 months when I was here. So of course we always work to try to accommodate individuals when we're full. But it is the reality that that gets to be a little unnerving because we never want to turn anybody away. So in June of 2013, we started to look at ways in which we could expand this facility, for the communal shelter, living spaces. And so we were able to capture an additional room by using a closet space. And then with the help of the United Way grant, the basic need grant, we had a goal for 2014 to 2016 that we would expand it from the 13-room facility to an 18-room facility. And we were able to do that. We actually did that within the first year of the grant cycle. It was a 3-year grant cycle. So we actually expanded this building to an 18-room emergency shelter, as well as we added an additional transitional living space. We already had Ellie Rose, which was a transitional apartment, which is at the end of the upstairs hallway. And we added another transitional down here in the basement.
So just to clarify, I asked Bolton Executive Director Pat Stein if she's saying she can actually house up to 18 different women and their children.
It's 18 different households.
Okay.
Correct. So we at Bolton Refuge House assist all individuals, regardless of gender or any other discriminatory factors. We don't discriminate against anybody who says that they're a victim of domestic violence, intimate partner violence, or sexual assault. So at any one time in this Farwell facility, we could have 18 different households in rooms, and then we could have the two transitional units full as well. So, it could be a household in a room, or it could be a single person in a room.
I asked Pat Stein to unpack those three that she mentioned. First of all, domestic violence. What kind of definition does she put to that?
So domestic violence is a course of behavior that is based on the abuser's desire to exert power and have ultimate control over an individual. So domestic violence can be in the form of verbal, emotional, physical, sexual abuse. It fits a criteria of an individual who you've lived with, an individual who you have a child in common with, an individual that you share blood with. And then there's other legal and obviously a marital relationship with. But there's also other legal binding definitions of domestic violence as far as in those relationships that make things enhancers to crimes. So if you're a caregiver, if you're an adoptive parent to an adoptive child, or, you know, those kind of things. So that's basically the definition, very simply, of domestic abuse.
Intimate partner violence is defined as domestic violence by a current or former spouse or partner in an intimate relationship against the other spouse or partner. Intimate partner violence can take a number of forms, including physical, verbal, emotional, economic, and sexual abuse. And I asked Pat Stein to explain for us the third type of violence she referred to.
And then sexual assault. Sexual violence is any unwanted sexual contact, intercourse, coercive behavior that makes an individual feel uncomfortable or exposed or violated. And again, that can be a comment, it can be a contact, and it can be a forced intercourse, rape, and those kind of things. So,
would Bolton Executive Director Pat Stein say the people at Bolton are equally distributed amongst those three?
I would say historically, individuals who enter into Bolton Refuge House for support services, and again, the emergency sheltering, those things that we talked about early, that's only a very small piece of the work that we do. That's a third of our programming. Two-thirds of our programming is systems advocacy work and then direct support services for individuals who are either in the community, still with their abuser, or people who have left their abusive partner.
And just what is systems advocacy work?
So systems advocacy is such that we as advocates recognize that we're a small piece of the pie in keeping victims safe and increasing their safety. There is a need to hold abusers accountable for their behavior. We as victim advocates are very good at providing victims with their rights and options when we have contact with victims. The systems, law enforcement, judicial system, medical response, counselors, schools, food pantries, WIC, everybody that you could think of that a human being could have in contact with, those individuals are eyes and ears for us as well. And so a lot of the work that our advocates are doing is the fact that they're collaborating, they're partnering with these other programs to make sure that if they recognize that there's something happening in those households, from a CNA visit to a home visit for birth to three, if they recognize that there could be some unhealthy dynamic or that there's a potential exposure that the child has witnessed or been a victim of, that they refer the individual, with that individual's permission, hopefully, but they don't have to, to Bolton Refuge House for us to be able to provide that individual with knowledge of what their rights are and what their options are. So again, our goal as advocates is the fact that we create a safety net for victims, and how we are doing that and how Eau Claire, the Greater Chippewa Valley, is being successful in doing that is by recognizing doing an earlier level of intervention in these households. It doesn't mean that a victim has to choose to leave their abuser, but it is the fact that even if a victim is staying with their abuser, there's still ways in which our guidance and support, options and rights and remedies can still be made available to that individual to help them stay safe. They're very much the expert of what is occurring in their household. We in no way, shape, or form tell an individual what they need to do. Often staying with an abuser is the way that they're staying alive. When they choose to leave is often when that escalation occurs. So the systems is really, and the systems work is really important, because it really is where that societal change comes into play, where everybody recognizes that domestic violence, intimate partner violence, sexual assault is a societal issue, and that we as human beings have the responsibility, and we should have the care to ensure that our neighbors are being taken care of. And if we know of something, if it's in our profession or our personal world, and we're not even informing the individual of their rights and remedies, then we really become part of that silence, isolation, and part of that problem. And So it isn't the fact that I'm asking people to do our job. It isn't the fact that I'm asking people to put themselves at risk of being harmed by an abuser. But it is the fact that I'm just asking individuals to know that we exist, know that we're here, regardless of what the victim chooses to do, leave or stay. And that informing that individual that you have the right to feel safe and there's people in the community that can help you, regardless of what your choices are, they can help you. That's really what the system's work is.
Bolton Refuge House Executive Director Pat Stein says the other thing that evolves from systems work in addition to partnering is
protocol and practices. So here in Eau Claire, we're super fortunate. Our law enforcement, all jurisdictions of law enforcement have created, they became participating in the Maryland practice of LAP, Lethality Assessment Process Project. And that Lethality Assessment Project is such that every time an officer, and here in Eau Claire, they've defined it as intimate partner, every time an officer responds to an intimate partner crime, they immediately have a conversation with the victim, they do an assessment tool with the victim, and then they call Bolton Refuge House with the victim present. And so we can immediately provide that conversation with the victim about, regardless if you choose to stay or leave, you know, our services are here, confidential, free, and then we run them through all of the support services that we have. And we've seen a lot of individuals who have had contact with us following that soft handoff that officers are doing. So it's a very successful way in which the goal is that we can kind of tap into individuals faster so that it reduces the amount of time officers have to keep going back to the same dwelling. And at the same point, it lets individuals know that there's resources and services. So we're doing that. And at the same, we have a very responsive judge system here, victim witness system, clerk of courts. So they're referring anybody who wants to drop restraining orders, no contacts, injunctions, those kind of things. They're also referring them all to have to connect with a legal advocate here and do safety planning prior to those being dropped. The individuals have the right to drop these, but again, it's one of those ways to create some safety nets so individuals understand what their practices are and their rights are.
Finally, I told Bolton Refuge House Executive Director Pat Stein, it seems to me a lot of people see Bolton as an emergency shelter that primarily women run to escape their male abusers. So I asked her to differentiate for me between the short-term and long-term stay.
And you are right. In 2012, there was a community health survey, as there always is, that's initiated by the medical response. At that time, it became very evident by the results of that survey that individuals above the age of 45 and individuals who were not female said that they wouldn't reach out to Bolton Refuge House because of the fact they felt that it was for younger individuals who were impoverished who had children. So we've been working really hard since 2012 to market Bolton, to have that population come and see us who were individuals who were above the age of 45, regardless of race, gender, sexual orientation, as well as socioeconomics. It didn't matter to us if the individual was impoverished or not, had children or not, male, female, identified, whatever. And so since then, we've seen a huge increase in the number of individuals accessing our services who were above the age of 45, as well as individuals who were later life, so that's above the age of 60, who were actually male victims.
Bolton Refuge House Executive Director Pat Stein, the first of two different Chippewa Valley This Week programs shining the spotlight on Bolton Refuge House. Next time, we'll deal with more of what she was discussing here about the new clientele that they are serving and how their base has changed. Also, how have things been during the pandemic, as well as how did the definition of domestic violence and how it's treated change 30 years ago with a shift in the law in 1991? And what about the church and domestic violence? Why is the church seemingly so quiet on this particular huge social problem? That and more in 3 weeks when we bring you our next Chippewa Valley This Week. In the meantime, check the podcast for this particular program at WWIB.com. And learn more about Bolton at boltonrefuge.org. That's all one word, boltonrefuge.org. I'm Mark Halverson.